Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Cybersecurity for All podcast, a podcast all about cybersecurity from ApeTech. I'm your host, Alex, and today we're going to be doing things a little bit different. Typically, I have a script and I prepare an episode about some cybersecurity topic. Today, I'm going to do things a little off script. I have some notes and some talking points that I like to do, but I really just want to make this one a more personal, intimate conversation with you and really try to provide some end of the year value that I think might be beneficial for you just to end 2021, but also to get your 2022 started. So if you haven't already, please make sure you drop a like on this podcast episode, wherever you're listening to it, leave a review. Any interaction really, really helps out with the algorithms here. And I'm going to talk about the future and the fate of this podcast towards the end. So make sure you're sticking around for that. And if you have been following along for the last few weeks, days, months, I've been doing a series on reviewing cybersecurity certifications. And I'm still continuing with that for now. I have a couple done already. And so gonna have some good episodes for you coming up in the early 2022. So make sure again that you're subscribed and that you're following along so that you don't miss out on any of those things. And so today, what I wanted to talk about, it's going to be about the topic that I have here is five simple things you can do to significantly reduce your chances of getting hacked in 2022. And so I'm gonna be talking about all these five things, but before we get into that, like I like to start off every episode here is let's talk about where we are with respect to the podcast. So been doing the podcast since September of 2019. And so it's been a while. Things are going pretty well. Thanks to your support. I couldn't have gotten as far as I am today without this community and without you all listening to it. So I'm currently at 2,483 downloads to my podcast, which if you've been listening for the last few months, really since probably summer of 2021, I've had a goal of hitting 2,500 downloads before the end of the year. So I am almost there. I can taste a victory. I got about 17 more downloads to go. And we got 2-3 days left in the year. So hopefully you listen to this podcast, you share it with your friends and family, and you help me crush my goal of 2,500. But anyway, if that's where we're at, for 2022, I am going to set a pretty aggressive goal. I'd like to do at least 5,000 downloads. So I'd like to do what I've done over the last year and a half. I'd like to do it all in just the 1 year. So hopefully I can hit a total of 2,500 additional downloads throughout the year. And if not, I'm hoping to double it, right? I'd hope to get a full 5,000 downloads, bringing me up to 7,500 throughout 2022. But the fate of that's going to be resting upon you and how well you listen to my podcast and how well you share it with your friends and family. So my job is to provide you value and your job is to distribute it. So thank you to everybody that's been listening along. I really appreciate your support. I know these last few months have been very sporadic with respect to the number of episodes that I've been releasing. And so life is just, I don't want to say life's gotten in the way, but I'll save a little bit of this to the end of the podcast, but there's been some developments in my professional career here, and so I'll talk about them here at the end, but just know that I am on the fence. I am not 100% sure what or where I want to go with this. I have episodes that I had pre-scripted and pre-recorded that I do want to get out, but beyond that, I'm really right now not really sure how to proceed. So I appreciate any feedback you may have with respect to this podcast, and maybe that'll help me go one way or another. But yeah, we'll talk about it at the end. Let's just jump into where we're at here and finish talking about or start talking about these five simple things. But before you do that, make sure you go to apetech.me/social. That's where you're going to be finding everywhere that I am on the internet, all my social medias. I'm also working on a redesign of the website, kind of going in with my last statement here about wanting to, I'm not sure what I'm going to do with this podcast or where I'm going with this podcast, but I am redesigning my website, which is going to kind of give you a tease or a preview of what my focus is on. And hopefully this podcast can definitely still be part of my goals here, but it's tough. It's I'm trying to figure life out. And so yeah. So anyways, wish me luck. We'll see where we go, but I am optimistic. So anyways, let's talk about the first simple thing that you can do to reduce your chances of getting hacked in 2022. So number one, we're going to have change your passwords. Now, this one should go without saying, right? At least once a year, you should be changing your passwords to all of your accounts. If you haven't changed the password in years, that is particularly dangerous because not a lot of people are using my tips 2, 3, 4, and 5 that I'm going to cover here briefly, but most people just rely on a username and a password. And I know that cybersecurity community is going to come back and say, well, I mean, you should have password managers and do two-factor authentication, which I'm going to talk about here in a second, teaser, spoilers, right? But for when I went on to create this podcast, I wanted to create it for the common folks, right? Maybe the ones that are not so tech savvy. So the people that I interact with that aren't so tech savvy, they're just relying on their username and password, and their passwords get changed very infrequently, right? So they're not changing them very often. They're using the same password for the same websites or for multiple websites, same password. So it becomes very dangerous. And so one of the things that you can actually do is if you are saving or storing your passwords in your browser, specifically Google does a pretty good job at this. Although I don't personally recommend it, but again, the most common folks are most non-techie folks. I'll leave it at that, right? They're not really following the cybersecurity best practices. So if you're using Chrome, specifically Chrome, to save your passwords, which is okay, it's not the best recommendation I would do. In fact, saving your password in your browser is not one of my five simple things you can do to reduce your chances of getting hacked in 2022. But if you are, one of the things I'd like for you to go and look at is Google is actually running like an analysis or some like they're going out and checking your passwords against places that have again, like websites that have been compromised with your password. And it'll tell you like your passwords, like this password here that you have is compromised. So you may want to go change at least those. But the tip for here is absolutely go and change your passwords at least once a year. Again, you don't have to change them every 30 days, every 90 days, things like that, but at least once a year, I would recommend you change your passwords. One of the things too, while you're here, is many of you have a password that's 8 characters with a special character and a number. Again, that was pretty safe in like 2010, we're now entering 2022. And so you got to have passphrases by now. If you have like the most complex password of just random characters and numbers, and you have to write it down because your password is so what I call unique, right? That you can't remember and you have to write it down, that's a completely useless password. So use a passphrase, use something that is memorable to you, personal to you, but still very, very challenging and complex for a hacker to guess or brute force through. So yeah, if I would take advantage of this time, if you're changing your passwords, change your passwords to a passphrase so that it's a lot more complex. And again, change it just at least once a year. Many will tell you 90 days, but changing your password every 90 days becomes quite challenging, especially when we're not that creative. And so creating passwords that we can remember and not forget, and then not be in this constant cycle of like, I forgot my password and always having to reset your password, becomes quite a bit of a nightmare. So at least once a year, you want to do that. And this is particularly helpful, right? Because so many companies get hacked throughout the year that it's good to just cleanse yourself of these vulnerabilities, but really of just like minimize your chances of somebody using that password that from a hacked website and like your bank account, for example, right? So good best practice here is go change your passwords. All right, let's go to number two. So changing your passwords can be a bit of a nightmare. It could definitely, if you're setting up a bunch of passphrases and you have 50, 60, 70 accounts like I do, keeping track of all these passwords can be really daunting. And so the next best thing that you can do here is once you set up your password, once you have a pretty good few solid passwords, I would recommend that you have at least a dozen or so strong passwords that you could reuse. But managing 70 passwords can be really daunting. So if you want to have a unique password for every website, which is really the best practice, how do you keep track of 70 passwords? Well, that's where tip number two comes in, right? So you want to set up a password manager. So there's a few password managers in the marketplace. Some are free, some are paid. And many people, even coming into 2022, are still a little bit paranoid about, oh, are password managers safe or not? And at the beginning of 2021, I don't even remember. It was a while ago. It was one of my very first episodes here. But I did a review where I reviewed quite a few number of password managers. And the three that I want to highlight today are LastPass, 1Password, and Bitwarden. So all three, I believe, still have a free version, although they may be getting more restrictive with respect to what you get for free. But hey, spending a couple of dollars a month to facilitate your password management and to drastically increase your cybersecurity posture in 2022, I think is worth it, because the headaches that you go through, if you think about it just from a macro perspective, right? The number of headaches you're going through to regain your identity or to re-get your accounts or things of that nature, I mean, it's worth $2, $3, $5 a month. Because like, even if you're like Facebook gets hacked, I had an influencer that I follow quite well here. His password must have gotten hacked or something, because somebody got a hold of his Pixel account, which usually when somebody gets a hold of your account is because they cracked your password, right? And because they did that, they were able to basically run spam on their Pixel account, which is how you run your Facebook ads and how you grow your business. And essentially Facebook locked it up because they had suspicious activity, and they locked it up, and then he didn't notice that these ads were running, that he missed the grace period that Facebook has, and he essentially has completely lost access to be able to run ads on his brand, which for a company, specifically for small companies that are out there, right, this can be severely crippling. This can literally just destroy your business overnight. And all because you just didn't want to spend $5 a month to get your password manager. And again, you don't have to spend the money, because all of these three should have some free version that gives you at least the most basic password management, right? So maybe you don't get all the bells and whistles. Maybe you don't get the mobile app version or something like that, right? But at least when you're on your desktop, all your passwords can be very easily retrieved and utilized. So, and the best part is you really only have to remember 1Password at that point, right? You remember the password manager password, so you can get in there. And then when you're visiting websites, your password manager of choice is usually going to kick in and auto authenticate you based on the values that you saved for that website. So very much like the browser, except the encryption is significantly stronger and the access to the password manager is significantly harder, because there is no two-factor authentication to see your stored passwords in Chrome, which is why I wouldn't recommend it. But there is, using a password manager, the ability to significantly improve your protection here. So anyways, that is tip number two. Let's move on to number three. So tip number three is review your login activity I have social media here, but really you should review your login activity on any important website, at least the ones that offer it. And I think this is really critical, because you may not know that your password is compromised. And a lot of people usually ask me, like, well, how do I know? Well, let me tell you how you know. One of the most common ways is Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Google. Like, those are all high targets, and banking websites. Although I don't think I've seen this tip on a banking website just yet. But if you're using your password for Facebook, that's the same password as your bank, and then you do this tip number three, it'll probably kind of help you figure one or the other out. So anyways, let me describe this in a little bit more detail, right? So review your login activity. So Twitter, Facebook, Google, they have these amazing tools somewhere in your settings. And I won't go into the details in any of these three because these interfaces are unique to each application, whether you're on a mobile device or you're on the browser, right? So there's just too many details for me to cover in this podcast, but I recommend that you Google or you look up review login activity for X website, where X is the website you're trying to review, right? And so Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Google, they do this really great thing where if you go into your account settings, there's like a security section or a login section, right? Where this is where you typically manage your password and stuff like that. But if you look in there somewhere, you're going to find something that's like, hey, review your previous login locations. And so you can actually see like IP addresses and like cities and devices that have attempted to log into your computer. And so if you see any address or location that isn't somewhere you've actually visited recently, that's usually a pretty big red flag, right? That's usually where you want to change your password immediately, because you know that someone has logged in a location that isn't somewhere you've been, which basically means somebody somewhere in the world has your username and password. Okay, because again, the only way they're going to get into your account is if they have your password. And so if you see the suspicious activity, right, and you see that that somebody has indeed logged in from like China or Russia or something like that, right, a bit of an exaggeration, it could be anywhere in the world, this is where you want to take some actions, right? You want to go and immediately change your passwords. You want to go in and immediately log out of every website and get those passwords changed immediately, because you don't know the damage that they've been doing, right? And so especially if you're sharing your password from like Facebook to your bank, there's literally a 99% probability that your password for your bank has been compromised as well. So go in there, review those logins. Some of them have this neat little feature where you can like log out of all of the locations, especially if somebody had like saved the ability to like sort save your password, right? So that you don't have to log in every time. You can auto log out. And if they're not configured, I recommend you configure it, right? And go ahead and set up these notifications, because you can actually get alerts when somebody is trying to log in to your account from a location that isn't a trusted location. So anyways, that's number three. We got two more to go. Really, it's really just one, but we got two more to go and then a final bonus. So let's jump into those. All right, and so let's jump into number four. Number four is going to be probably one of the more advanced things. So depending on your level of comfort, you may want to Google some of this a little bit, but most websites, or at least most places where you have to log into an account in 2021 and going into 2022, they're starting to enable this thing called two-factor authentication, or 2FA or MFA, multi-factor authentication. And let me tell you, two-factor authentication is probably one of the most secure ways of protecting yourself, right? So relying on just a password is, at least in 2022, and I'm sorry for this word, but it's almost silly, right? It's it's doing the most minimum thing that you can do to protect yourself and still leaving yourself exposed, right? Your password is so easy to crack, so easy to guess, so easy to do anything with, especially like if somebody hacks a website and your password's on it, and then they just put your passwords out on the black market for purchase, right? So anybody can get a hold of your password. So relying on your password, just your password, here is the key, right? Just your password is so 2021. So in 2022, you're going to want to do better. And most websites, almost every website, at least every important website, like banks, social media, and stuff like that, like the websites that have a lot of your personal information that you actually do want to protect, like utilities and stuff like that also, right? Like your banks and pretty much anything that is important, you're going to have this thing called two-factor authentication. Now, before I jump into this, right, there is one significant con, in my opinion. But this con is not really a con in the sense of like, oh my gosh, this is a deal breaker, right? It's an annoyance of a con, because every time you're logging into a website, you have to do your two-factor authentication. So if you don't have your phone with you or something of that nature, right, it can get a little annoying. However, and I kind of mentioned this when we were talking about like paying for password managers, right? Two-factor authentication is almost always free, right? I don't, other than corporate authentication, which I'm going to talk about in this next section here, other than like a corporate level authentication, like most authentication or two-factor authentication is going to be free because the first version, right, it's a simple text message or email. And there is literally, I've never seen or have to pay for any website to do enable a two-factor authentication that is for text messaging or email. And what that means is anytime I go to a website, I put in my username and password, but before I am able to actually enter the website, I typically will receive an email or a text message with either a code or a link to click on or something of that nature. And once you do that, then the app assumes, okay, well, I just sent a PIN or a code. They were able to provide it. So this person must be the person they say they are because not only do they have the PIN that I just sent to a trusted device, but they also have the right correct password, right? And so the probability that a hacker has access to your phone plus knows your password goes down significantly, right? And you got to remember that hackers are lazy individuals. And so if they have to work a little hard to try to break into your stuff, they're probably going to move on to an easier target. Unless you're a person of interest, right? Unless they really are targeting you because of your position or some knowledge that you may have, then no matter what you do, you're at risk. But anyways, the two-factor authentication is completely free, very easy to set up, at least from a text message perspective. Almost every company does it now. The only little drawback is, again, if you don't have your phone or if you don't have access to your email, or if each of those, like if your email system requires a two-factor authentication to get into it too, then you just have to go through a couple of hoops. But in my opinion, it is so worth it because you significantly reduce your chances of getting hacked at the expense of not getting hacked, right? Like, or at the expense of being inconvenient for a few seconds. But if you were, imagine if you just relied on that username and password and you did get hacked, right? And this was like your bank and all your money got depleted out of your account or your social media, like the example I mentioned about that influencer with his Pixel account, right? The headaches that you go through to kind of restore your life, I think are priceless, right? Like it's just so much money, time, and effort to come back from a hack that why not go through the 2 to 3 second trouble every time you're trying to log into an application so that it's harder for the bad guys to do bad damage to you. So that's my tip number four, is set up your two-factor authentication, at least via text and email. Now the next tip is pretty much the same thing as well, but it's slightly more advanced. This is going to be, not a lot of websites are doing this. Some websites are starting to do it. Most Microsoft-based websites give you this possibility, but slowly but surely, many companies are starting to enable this, where when you log into when you're trying to log into a website, you put in your username and password, but instead of getting a text message or an email, they are utilizing an authentication service or an app, right? Now, this is different than the password manager because the password manager is its own application, but its duty is to just save your passwords so that you can use them. The authentication app is going to be a different thing because what the authentication app is doing is it is basically, instead of the company emailing you or texting you a PIN, the PIN is in your app. And so in order for you to access the app, you then have to use your thumbprint or your face ID to authenticate yourself. And so it's like a three-step or like a three-hoop security, right? Because you have to have your password. Then you have to have on your phone, you need to have like face scanning or thumbprint scanning, right? And so you have to authenticate yourself that way so that you can get into your phone. And then once you're on the phone, you'll get access to the PIN, which is in the application. And then once you have that PIN from the application, you can then either click on it and it from through the internet, through the magic of the internet, it'll authenticate you, or it gives you like a PIN to actually put into the website, which then authenticates you that way. So this is by far the safest and most secure way of authenticating, at least in 2022. Now, again, it's going to be probably the most complicated or sophisticated to get set up, but once you have it set up, it's gonna work out pretty well because I have almost any of my applications that enable this, I have it set up because it's a couple of apps. There's one by Google called Duo, and there's one by Microsoft called Authenticator. And if you're working remotely, you're probably using Okta or Okta Verify. And so those are the three most common ones that you should have. And between those three, you're going to be sitting really nice in 2022 if you start using at least Duo or Authenticator. But anyways, those are really great ways of those are my five tips. These are five great ways of significantly reducing your chances of getting hacked in 2022. And as an added bonus here, and to kind of start wrapping this up here, I do want to talk about phishing. I know phishing is super, like, you've probably heard it a million times, and phishing is still the best way. It's still the best way for you to protect yourself. It's still the best thing you can do if you can identify these phishing attacks, but just keep in mind that they're hard to identify. And my only tip that I want to give you here is, whenever you receive any kind of an email or even a text message, if you did not request for a link or some sort of a login, right? Like if I go to a website, like if I go to my bank and I'm trying to log in, then I get an email immediately saying like, hey, click on this link to authenticate yourself, probability of you getting hacked is very low. But if you're just like walking down the street and then randomly you get an email saying like, hey, somebody's trying to authenticate, log into your bank, and you're literally walking down the street, no access to the internet, and you not doing this, the probability that somebody is either A, trying to hack your account, or B, trying to steal your credentials by giving you a phishing email is significantly higher. So you want to be very careful when you get these kind of emails or text messages, because you don't want to click on those links. Like clicking on the links is going to be, it's dangerous, right? But the real dangerous part is when you click on the link and you're redirected to a fake spoofed website, and then you put in your credentials, because essentially what's happening is you're logging into a fake website and you're giving them your username and password, and then they're going to have that username and password, and then they can go into the real website and then log in. So whenever you get a link like that, always go directly to the source of truth, especially like go log in and then go check in that login activity, right? Because it's going to show you if somebody's been trying to log in. But again, the only way you're really going to be able to set this all up or protect yourself a lot better is if you have at least that two-factor authentication. So anyways, that's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I do want to talk about the future of this podcast. So if you're interested in that, stick around. Let me share my thoughts with you. And then hopefully you can help me make a decision here. All right. So what's the future of this podcast? So when I first started figuring out what did I want to do as a brand, as me, like starting my own business, I sat back and I went, well, what am I good at? And so, what am I good at and what do I like? And so cybersecurity was one of those things that I really, really liked. I wouldn't necessarily say that I'm an expert in, but it's one of those things where I'm interested in it. And I wanted to get better. And here I am, coming in, I quit my job back in basically the end of March, first day of April. So it's been 9 months since all of that. And I've learned a lot and I've grown a lot in those last 9 months. And while cybersecurity is still a big passion of mine, it's not a focus. And it's not something that I want to spend time and energy on. Now, I do know exactly what I'm going to be spending my time and energy and focus on, which is Jira and things around Agile and DevOps. And so I'm entering this phase of like, do I keep going with this podcast because I got good momentum, or do I completely sunset it? And I'm really struggling here. I'm on the fence because I enjoy this podcast. And I, to be honest, and for disclosure, I've been dreading putting these episodes together, even though I have a list, but just because I'm so busy. And I'm busy because I'm working on other stuff that's more important to me right now. And I want to start a podcast and do all my TikToks and everything around that environment, because since I'm already doing it in my day-to-day job, right, it's going to be a lot easier for me to create content for this podcast. So I kind of know that I want to go that way, and I want to do like a project management, technical project management, Agile, Jira, Confluence, Atlassian podcast. But then the question is, what do I do with this podcast? So if you've been enjoying this podcast, please feel free to reach out to me on like Twitter and stuff like that. I'd be really happy to hear from you. As I had mentioned, I do have like another 5 or 6 episodes pre-recorded or at least scripted. And so I do plan on launching those over the next few weeks. I'm still going to try to do at least once a week. But after that, I'm just not really sure, right? I'm not 100% certain on what I should do. Part of me wants to continue it though, with it though, because I do want to get much better at cybersecurity. And the only way I feel I'm going to get better at cybersecurity is if I practice it. My concern is though, is like I only have a certain number of hours in the day, and I'm already spending 12, 13 hours working on the stuff that's making me money. And this podcast, while it is making money, it's making me pennies versus the dollars that I'm making elsewhere. So again, it's just one of those things where I'm just not 100% sure where I want to go with it. But if this has been bringing you value, if anyone, just one person reaches out to me saying that this podcast had value to them, then I will keep going. So if this is you and you're listening to this podcast, feel free to drop me a message on Twitter and I'd be more than happy to keep going with this podcast. But otherwise, if I get nothing, then I'll probably just publish the next 6 episodes, see how it goes. And unless some miracle happens that I get like 100 downloads in each episode or something, I'm probably going to be sunsetting this podcast on or around the end of February, March timeframe. So I'm hoping it doesn't get to that point. I'm hoping somebody does send me some message and we keep going with it. But in the unlikely event or most likely event that I don't get anything, then I'll let you help me determine the fate of this podcast. So with that said, have a great end of 2021. I hope your 2022 year looks a lot better. I hope you hit all your goals and continue to crush it. Onward.